And then there was that one most awful phrase. In four simple words last Friday, the president brought into sharp focus what has been only vaguely clear these past 5.5 years, the way the terrain at night is perceptible only during an angry flash of lightning, and then a second later, all again is dark. It's unacceptable to think, he said. It is never unacceptable to think. And when a president says thinking is unacceptable, even on one topic, even in the heat of the moment, even in the turning of a phrase extracted from its context, he takes us toward a new and fearful path, one heretofore the realm of science fiction authors and apocalyptic visionaries. That flash of lightning freezes at the distant horizon, and we can just make out a world in which authority can actually suggest it has become unacceptable to think. Thus, the lightning flash reveals not merely a president we have already seen, the one who believes he has a monopoly on current truth. It now shows us a president who has decided that of all our commanders-in-chief ever, he alone has had the knowledge necessary to alter and reshape our inalienable rights. This is a frightening and a dangerous delusion, Mr. President. If Mr. Powell's letter, cautionary, concerned, predominantly supportive, can induce from you such wrath and such intolerance, what would you say were this statement to be shouted to you by a reporter or written to you by a colleague? Governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. Those incendiary thoughts came, of course, from a prior holder of your job, Mr. Bush. They were the words of Thomas Jefferson. He put them in the Declaration of Independence. Mr. Bush, what would you say to something that antithetical to the status quo just now? Would you call it unacceptable for Jefferson to think such things or to write them? Between your confidence in your infallibility, sir, and your demonizing of dissent, and now these rages better suited to a thwarted 3-year-old, you have left the unnerving sense of a White House coming unglued. A chilling suspicion that perhaps we have not seen the peak of the anger, that we can no longer forecast what next will be said to or about anyone who disagrees, or what will next be done to them. On this newscast last Friday, constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley of George Washington University suggested that at some point in the near future, some of the detainees transferred from secret CIA cells to Guantanamo will finally get to tell the Red Cross that they have indeed been tortured. Thus, the debate over the Geneva Conventions might not be about further interrogations of detainees, but about those already conducted and the possible liability of the administration for them. That certainly could explain Mr. Bush's fury, but that, at this point, is speculative. At least, though, it would provide an alternative possibility as to why the president's words were at such variance from the entire history of this country. For there needs to be some other explanation, Mr. Bush, than that you truly believe we should live in a United States of America in which a thought is unacceptable. There needs to be a delegation of responsible leaders, Republicans or otherwise, who can sit you down as Barry Goldwater and Hugh Scott once sat Richard Nixon down and explain the reality of the situation you have created. There needs to be an apology from the President of the United States. And more than one. But, Mr. Bush, the others, for warnings unheeded 5 years ago, for war unjustified 4 years ago, for battle unprepared 3 years ago, they are not weighted with the urgency and the necessity of this one. We must know that to you, thought with which you disagree, and even voice with which you disagree, and even action with which you disagree, are still sacrosanct to you. The philosopher Voltaire once insisted to another author, "I detest what you write, but I would give my life to make it possible for you to continue to write." Since the nation's birth, Mr. Bush, we have misquoted and even embellished that statement, but we have served ourselves well by subscribing to its essence. Oddly, there are other words of Voltaire's that are more pertinent still just now. "Think for yourselves," he wrote, "and let others enjoy the privilege to do so too." Apologize, sir, for even hinting at an America where a few have that privilege to think, and the rest of us wind up getting yelled at by the president. Anything else, Mr. Bush, is truly unacceptable. I'm Keith Olbermann. Good night and good luck.